Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 115.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by the team at Push Owl, a leader in web push notifications for Shopify brands. Are you using web push notifications yet as part of your marketing strategy? If not, you're definitely missing out. It's an important tactic that all Shopify brands, regardless of their size, should be implementing today. Thanks to an amazing Push Owl solution, web push notifications are clickable messages that show up on your desktop computer or mobile phone, and with one click, customers come back to your store ready to buy or consume your latest content. And get this, without collecting email addresses, you're able to recover abandoned carts or win back visitors that recently abandoned your store. It's the best of both worlds, shopping cart recovery and browse recovery for those visitors that didn't buy anything and didn't add anything to the cart, but they spent time viewing products on your site. Imagine being able to send push notification broadcasts to all your subscribers or a segment of them with a new collection launch or a flash sale or BFCM or holiday promotions, or, you know, just engage them with your new branded content from your blog. They even have an incredible feature where you can notify customers when a product is back in stock. Never lose shoppers when inventory gets to zero. You can now send automated back-in-stock web push notifications to bring those interested shoppers back to your site. And Push Owl is Shopify's leading solution for web push notifications. Over 20,000 brands trust their platform for this incredible sales channel. And right now, they're offering a 30-day free trial for all my listeners. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/pushowl or pushowl.com, and use the code Fastlane and start automating and scaling your marketing today. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest on today's episode is Vivian, and he's the co-founder and CEO from Upfluence. And they're a social commerce software solution that's helping e-commerce brands both sell more online with special thanks to influencers. It's a very important episode. It's a very timely episode where we're kind of pre-BFCM right now. This likely could be your market advantage of getting the word out about the products and services that you have for sale. And so let's welcome Vivian to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So let's talk on a high level first, because I can guess there's going to be a lot of people that may not know what Upfluence does and the problem that you're trying to solve for Shopify brands. So this would be an opportunity maybe first you to share some details.
If you zoom all the way out, what do Shopify brands need to grow? They need a couple of things, but one of them is to generate traffic, and preferably qualified traffic that converts in an ROI positive way, right? So how do we help Shopify brands do that? We help them identify, activate, manage, monitor influencers. So why influencer marketing in this day and age? Well, in the epoch of ad blockers and with a lot of ad fatigue, where, you know, people are constantly subjected with ads, we found that there's an increasing competition for attention and for eyeballs. And influencer marketing is a great alternative to what currently exists to produce great quality content and authentic content that performs, essentially, right? We have helped over 1,000 clients achieve just that and a high ROI with influencer marketing.
Yeah, I believe I learned more about Upfluence. I do app audits and I take a look at the different kind of connections and things that people have in the stores that I manage. And I happen to see one of them using Upfluence, and that just piqued my interest. I'm like, what's Upfluence? And let's learn more about what they're doing and why. And that's what this show is all about. It really is to kind of get that little extra advantage, something unique that you may not have thought about. I'm sure influencers, it's not a new concept for a lot of people, but let's back up a tiny bit and talk about, I guess, your journey and your co-founder's journey. It's so interesting to me why people build what they build. And are you able to talk about what uniquely positions you, I guess, in the founding team on a couple points? Number one, to have the desire to build this platform. And number two, to have the expertise.
Fantastic question. My background's actually in e-commerce, funnily enough. And I'm going to share a potentially embarrassing story, but we'll see where that takes us. But long story short, right out of business school, I found this great job at a software company here in France. I was the first marketing hire. It was a very exciting time for the company. The company was growing fast. And I was working directly with founders, and their entrepreneurial drive was very inspiring. And so I thought, I'm going to start a side business, right? And see what's what. So that was back in 2011. And so I got along with a friend and we say, okay, let's start an e-commerce company, right? At the time it was all the rage. Shopify probably already existed. That was not sadly on our radar quite yet. But yeah, we got things started to get the company ready. Dropshipping was not really a thing at the time. So we went all in, right? We found a supplier. And first of all, we need to decide what we're going to sell, right? And we were looking for a product that had the least amount possible of expertise because we didn't have any. Number one. Number two, that was easy enough to ship because we were going to do the supply chain ourselves. And three, that had very high profit margins, right? So we could actually turn this into an actual business. And so we decided to go for neckties, and that's when the story gets embarrassing. And we found this little producer in southern Italy named Diego, produced 1,000 ties, shipped them to my apartment, and we're ready to sell, right? We're quite confident in our ability to sell them because I was doing marketing all day in digital marketing. So that was a done deal, essentially, right? And so we launched and we sold zero ties. And turns out that we didn't really do our market research properly, right? And turned out that the market was very fragmented. A lot of small companies were doing exactly what we were doing. And the customer acquisition costs were way too high to break even. All the marketing at the time was bid-based, search marketing, display marketing. And so acquisition costs were just way too high. So we tried to be entrepreneurs and to get creative and to find more ideas to actually get rid of that box of 1,000 ties that was sitting in my living room. Most of these initiatives failed quite spectacularly, to be honest, but one of them really worked is that we started to reach out to bloggers to essentially beg them to write a review. We would ship them a product, would follow up 1,000 times. They would eventually write that review. The review would generate traffic. The traffic would turn into clients. Clients would become repeat clients, right? So long story short, that's how we got rid of our massive box of ties. And we learned a couple of things. Number one, that influencer marketing does work and is great, and it can benefit a lot of different consumer companies, number one. But number two, it's a pain in the neck, right? It's extremely time consuming if you do it manually. On top of which, it's very, number three, opaque, in a sense that you have access to some metrics, the number of followers, number of engagement, and things of that nature. But it's very hard to take this and to make a very informed decision based on that, data-driven decisions based on that. So that's sort of when we had a couple of eureka moments, right? Eureka moment number one, never again will I sell tie online. Number two, we should create a technology company that does that, right? So we can scale influencer marketing for people. And that's how Upfluence got started.
Well, I love the idea of just being resilient and thinking, okay, wait a second, it's not working well. So what sort of things can I do? And decided to reach out to bloggers. I think the whole product seeding is a very interesting topic that I've chatted about in the past. And it brings up this thing called law of reciprocity. And basically what that means is that, you're doing something without the thought of getting anything in return. And I think, I know you said, hey, I begged some bloggers to kind of write some reviews to help with some inbound links. And then they have influence, or they have a larger pool of readers that could see these neckties as a value. But I think getting the product in their hands, seeing the quality of the product, this is custom made by a guy, this is like interesting artisan type quality product. And then with this law of reciprocity, now it almost felt like, well, they gave me the product for free. The least I'm going to do now just to give back and to be the great equalizer is to write a review or a blog post and share it through their social channels. And then, the rest is history. You got rid of the stock, but then you learned a great lesson.
100% couldn't agree more. On top of which, by definition, it will create a content that's very authentic and very genuine and very engaging as a result, right? We're in an age where we see so much content that's disgenuine, that people talk about a product they never even used. In that scenario, that's a great way to stand out of the crowd and have proper content.
I think people are getting very wise of it now. Even my wife recently has kind of unfollowed people on Instagram because she knows that every second post really is disingenuous. It's just really trying to flog product. She knows now through me that they're just being paid thousands of dollars to come do a post and sometimes tens of thousands of dollars. And so it's not really the way that I believe influencer marketing should be done. And I think people are learning more, and that's what your platform does.
That's great, because we do obviously a lot of data science to understand what works and what doesn't. And we've come up with that metric that we called the saturation rate. And we define it by the number of sponsored posts out of the total number of posts that one influencer does. And what we've seen is that it correlates almost one-to-one with a decline of the engagement rate. So the more sponsored content an influencer publishes, the less is going to engage the audience, right? So that echoes 100% to your point. The interesting thing is that it's actually okay to do a little sponsored content. I think the sweet spot was one post every 12 or something along these lines that didn't hurt your engagement rate. And some influencers actually do a great job at having sponsored posts that overperform as opposed to the rest of their organic content. So it can work very well for brands, but it has to be done in a way that's subtle, in a way that's occasional, but not too frequent.
Obviously, influencer marketing has been around for quite a while now. And like, so what do you believe, I mean, has changed over the recent past? I'm sure there's lots of people listening today. Shopify brands, they've attempted it. I guess they failed at maybe influencer marketing. And so what's possible today, and how do you believe that people can actually make it work for them?
To me, one of the recent things I've seen emerge, and I think is very important, is what I call the rise of inbound influencer marketing, right? As opposed to outbound influencer marketing. The distinction is this: the outbound influencer marketing way is the legacy way, right? The old way, where a brand would reach out to a number of influencers who may or may not know who that brand is, right? Unless you're Coca-Cola, of course. But if you're starting a Shopify brand, you reach out to influencers that may not, most likely, have never heard of you. That's great to get your brand discovered. And that's what I did, you know, before the affluence days. That being said, we found an alternative way that's even more powerful. It's to look into the people that already gravitate around your brand. You know, they can be your clients, they can be people you subscribe to your newsletter, that can be your social media followers, and identify who's influential amongst these people. I believe it's quite game-changing for Shopify brands and for commerce in general for a number of reasons. Number one, it's a way to bring in very large volumes of influencers passively or virtually passively, right? As opposed to outbound being an extremely active and time-consuming thing to do, right? To identify influencers, to reach out to them, and so on and so forth. Number two, and I'll expand on that later, there's a much better unit economic to it, right? The way to generate ROI is a lot more evidence for inbound influencer marketing as opposed to outbound. And third, that creates, and I'm going to expand on that as well, at the end of the day, some sort of a snowball effect in this fantastic way for a brand to stretch their marketing dollars as a result, right? So to expand on points two and three. On the unit economic front, I mentioned we're doing a lot of data science. One of the things that we ran experiments on is to activate two identical groups of influencers, one being inbound, the other one being outbound, but sharing all the same characteristics in terms of follower count, editorial line, and so on and so forth. And what we found is when brands activate inbound influencers, they are 7 times more likely to work for free or for a revenue sharing model, right? Which is obviously the best way to generate ROI. We are talking about sponsored posts earlier on. And when the value proposition being discussed is a paid post, it's 52% cheaper for paid posts, right? So that's a great way to maximize ROI, on top of which, if it's an influential client, for example, most likely they already have your product and they have already spent money on your store even. So you save a ton of time shipping your product, you save a ton of money shipping your products. And of course, you can make more informed decision as if you want to pay that influencer, how much money you want to pay them based on the amount of money they've already given you. Regarding the snowball effect, when I say stretching your marketing dollars, e-commerce brands, and that's especially true on Shopify, they invest a lot in marketing, right? To get new customers, to get new email subscribers, to get new social media followers, and so on and so forth. And it's expensive, it's hard, it's competitive. And that way, the more you invest to grow your network, you know, your client base, your email subscriber base, your social media followers, the more you are likely to find influencers within that community, right? And as a result, the more you can turn these people as revenue generating ambassadors at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's interesting being able to understand the social footprint of existing Shopify customers and knowing if there's a good fit. I think it's a really interesting business model to be able to do that. So let's dig a little bit into more specifically about like how do you believe that Upfluence is now specifically helping Shopify brands just to sell more?
Historically, it's been hard for the industry, for the influencer marketing industry, to really tie campaigns with ROI, right? That's something that we've all struggled with. And the way we've had a lot of success is by offering brands a chance to run affiliate marketing campaigns with influencers, right? On your show, you talk a lot about affiliate marketing for good reason. It's a great way. It's very scalable. And we found a way to marry that with influencers in a very interesting way. A successful affiliate marketing campaign with influencers would look something like this, right? Number one, influencer discovery and activation. Number two, product seating, which would allow you to do a very authentic and very credible content. Number three, offering a coupon code or track link generation, something along these lines. And number four, producing the content. Number five, the actual revenue sharing and the monitoring of the campaign. For an outbound influencer marketing campaign, that would imply a lot more time spent identifying these influencers and activating them, right? Because they may or may not know you, with a lot harder time activating them because they may or may not know you, as a matter of fact, right? On top of which, you will have to send your product, which costs time, which costs money, which impacts at the end of the day the profitability of the operation you're trying to do because it raises the overhead cost, right? On the other hand, if you were doing an inbound influencer marketing campaign on an affiliate basis, that would be a lot easier because it would be a lot more passive by definition and by nature. You would have a lot better activation metrics and much better unit economics in general. The products has already been owned by the influential clients, so you save time, money, but also you get to produce content that performs great because it's genuine content, as I mentioned. At the end of the day, that's very much how we help Shopify brands drive sales and be ROI positive across the board.
So let's talk about the relationship now between a brand and the influencers, because I believe that that's, you know, one of the reasons why influencer marketing can work so well for brands is not this, as you use the word, disingenuous kind of pay to play, kind of trying to find the influencers in a mega marketplace and really not knowing if it's true follower count, the engagement, you know, you just don't know. I'm thinking about this, I guess, almost a mutually beneficial relationship between the brand and influencers. Are you able to maybe unpack that a bit for us?
Absolutely. So you mentioned earlier, Nicole, the concept of reciprocity, and that's exactly right. And in my mind, it all comes down to what I call the value proposition, which is what as a brand you will be offering to the influencer to convince him or her to work with you on a certain program. And that's even more true in an age where it's a lot less about campaigns, meaning something that's finite in time. It's a lot more about programs, meaning how do I engage influencers on a very much recurring basis. In fact, when you zoom out about, you know, that value proposition, there's a dilemma that takes shape. Because on one hand, you might be tempted to find a value proposition that maximizes the influencer activation rate. I'm going to give a couple of examples. On the other end of the spectrum, you might want to offer value propositions that maximize your return on investment, right? And it's something that you can't do at the same time. So it's a fine line to walk. Let's say I'm a Shopify brand and Steve, you're an influencer. If I reached out to you saying, hey, Steve, I'd love you to post an Instagram post about my brand, I'll give you $1 million. You are very likely to say yes. And it's going to be an incredible activation rate. And I'm probably 100% of influencers I reach out to are going to say yes, and this is great. However, on the other hand, probably will have the worst ROI of the history of marketing. As a brand, that's not exactly what I'm looking for. On the other hand, if I were to reach out to you saying, hey, Steve, I love what you do. Would you talk about my brand for free? You are probably a lot less likely to do it. But if you were to do it, I would have fantastic ROI because it cost me zero and you were able to, you know, drive value for me as a brand. That being said, it's not exactly win-win either, right? So what we advise our clients to do is really to find a middle ground in this, to find the right arbitrage between, on one hand, the monetary value of the value proposition, on the other hand, the perceived value. And I'm going to expand on that a little bit more. If I, a Shopify brand, were to send you, dear Steve, the influencer, a $100 product. The perceived value is $100, but the monetary value of this product is more probably the production cost plus the shipping cost, right? And here I have actually a leverage. I can make some arbitrage to try to maximize the value I bring to the influencer and to minimize the cost so I can maximize my ROI as a brand as well. A great way to do that is to do revenue sharing, of course. But some brands actually have done a great job finding some sort of quote-unquote monopoly money, something that costs them very little but has great perceived value for the influencer and that has brought home a lot of value on both sides.
This is really exciting stuff. I mean, I think you're preaching to the choir. These are the sort of conversations that I have like nonstop with the brands I manage on Shopify Plus. And for me, it just comes down to they've tried and potentially have failed. And now you're suggesting that maybe it's a little bit of a mindset shift a bit, thinking that, you know what, you have existing customers, they've purchased from you already, and there's ways of, you know, either through revenue sharing, and a few other tactics, I think are really probably the best way to really start building that sort of relationship, mutually beneficial relationship, their audience, your product, you know, they can work in tandem.
Absolutely. You're exactly right.
So let's talk about the future of influencer marketing. You know, obviously you're on the ground, you have a front row seat to kind of what's happening as you keep iterating on your platform. But I just would love to hear in your own words where you believe influencer marketing is going.
Two thoughts come to mind. Number one, I think the next stage of influencer marketing is marketing automation. When you look at the success that some marketing technology companies, even some in the Shopify ecosystems, companies like Klaviyo, for example, that you had on the show, I know, when you look at the success they had and their ability to for their clients to get a lot of value from marketing automation capabilities, that's something that we're obviously very interested in. And even more so in the context that we just discussed, right? If you can have basically a system on autopilot that brings you passively influencers because you've plugged to your Shopify account, you've plugged your Instagram page, you've plugged your Klaviyo account, you know, the next step is how do you automate the activation of these influencers, right? How do you create workflows so you can basically have a money generating system that works for you? And that's something that the industry hasn't cracked quite yet, but that's something that Upfluence is investing a ton of resource on, and that 2021, I will be looking to build that next frontier of influencer marketing. The second one, and probably is going to be less interesting for a lot of Shopify brands, but I believe very strongly about this, is to find a way to reconcile the online world and the offline world, right? Especially online and offline marketing. Probably a little bit ambitious to talk about this in the age of COVID, right? But the idea is to give the tools for brands that have a brick and mortar component to their business. You know, they might have an online store and, you know, physical retail stores across the country. So to give them the tool to identify influencers in real life, so to speak, right? Via an integration with their point of sale solution, maybe their POS. So really very much to allow them to extend their marketing efforts offline and to basically marry and have the best of both worlds.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate it. So this show really does have a diverse range of Shopify entrepreneurs that listen each week. And if you were to give some advice, I guess, for those, let's talk in the early stage of their business journey. What sort of advice would you give them today?
Here are two pieces of advice. And for the first one, the irony is not lost on me, but my first piece of advice would be do not listen too much to advice. Yeah, here's a little bit of a personal story, but when you start your business, everyone, and I do mean everyone, tells you what to do. And most people are very wrong, even though most of them mean well, and you know, they probably have relevant experience that they're trying to share with you. Do not forget, as a founder, as an entrepreneur, you are in a very unique position to know exactly what's best for your company, for your business, right? If you started your business in the first place, it's because you knew something that others didn't. And you know, you have the most information, you have a front row seat to make very informed decisions, right? Don't listen too much to advice. Try to make as little assumptions as possible. Try to be as data-driven as you possibly can and take it one day at a time, right? That would be my first piece of advice. The second would be, I believe, it's more of an opinion, but I strongly believe that being bootstrapped is underrated. We live in a day where massive fundraisers are celebrated and sometimes more than, you know, bootstrap success of companies that didn't raise a whole ton of capital. But when you look at companies like MailChimp, who has reached $1 billion in AR by raising $0, or Atlassian, you know, like fantastic entrepreneurial success that did it with zero external capital. That's to me a lot more impressive. And it relates to Upfluence in the following way, is that for the longest time, we didn't raise any sort of capital. We're extremely capital efficient and actually allowed us to be in a much, much better position to grow and to eventually being a venture capitalist backable. There are lots of different alternatives to, you know, VC funding. You can, you know, obviously get a loan with your bank. You can get venture debt. You can find some alternative financing. I know you had ClearBank on the show a while back. It's a fantastic opportunity. I've heard of Shopify Capital. Maybe you can tell me more about this, Steve.
I'll put some details in the show notes about Shopify Capital. But yeah, we actually look at the data of the each brand. You know, we look at the history. You know, there's lots of data points in there. And then we're able to loan money, and it's a certain percentage of sales. And we're not taking out any equity, obviously, in the company. But just it really is an alternative financing option for those that maybe the banks can't help with. And that money can be used for marketing, can be used for product. I have many brands that have hundreds of thousands of dollars. I have one brand like $700,000 they got, and they've used that money to help fuel their BFCM product, bring it in so they have it available. It'll be actually inside your admin if you qualify for that, but a lot of brands do qualify. If you have market fit and some traction, in all likelihood, you have some capital options. Yeah. Let's talk about those, I guess, more in the mid-market. So they would like to have a small team. They might outsource some of their marketing strategy, but they're certainly eager to grow and scale. From your vantage point, what do you believe a mid-market brand should be working on today?
Before I get into that, just an element of context, Upfluence historically has been very strong in the SMB segment and the mid-market segment. I know some of my competition is very strong in the enterprise segment, not so much in the rest of the market. So that question feels right at home. And in my mind, mid-market companies have a couple of marketing challenges that are very unique to them. Either they are in a situation where, number one, they need to scale existing acquisition channels that work and work well. Two, they might have these handful of channels that work really well, but they know they will unavoidably hit a plateau at some point as they grow, and they need, you know, to diversify. And that's why they're looking to experiment with new channels. And sort of in both scenarios, they need really to be in a situation where they don't add too much overhead, you know, don't have too much headcount to their company because they need to keep their overheads low. So it's very important to them to be integrated with the tools they already use, right? Tools like Shopify, like Klaviyo, like we already discussed, right? So these three things. To scale a channel, whatever they were doing manually at some point that worked and that might have brought them very far, they will be eventually looking for tools to internalize and or scale their efforts without growing a headcount, as I mentioned, right? So in that case, making the jump to a tool, a software like Upfluence makes a lot of sense. Number two, when they experiment with new channel, it's super important to be extremely data-driven, right? In order to run the right experiments in a very scientific fashion so they can make informed decision whether or not they want to pursue that specific channels. And here again, working on a tool, maybe not the same kind of plan, but on the tool to really measure everything, it's critical to their success. And third, so for a marketing team that's growing, and what they really need is to be as efficient as they can be, right? And it's important for them to look for solutions that integrate natively with the tools that they already use every day. And that's already a very important part of their stack. So Shopify is a given, but maybe they'll be looking for solutions that integrate with their email marketing services like Klaviyo, or with their affiliate marketing solution like Refersion. And as a little bit of a shameless plug here, we integrate with all three of these solutions.
I think that's one of the advantages that I see on partnerships inside the Shopify ecosystem is non-competitive verticals and working with existing tech stack, because I do app audits, both the public apps, their private connections through their own private API keys. When I see all of these pieces that build out their success, a lot of times people are a little bit gun shy to want to be able to select a different solution or another solution if they feel that the solution that I'm recommending or one that they've found doesn't play nice with existing pieces of tech. Because they're very well, you know, in all likelihood, there's many people using Klaviyo as their marketing automation platform. Lots of people using Reversion too for affiliate marketing. Absolutely. So it's great to see that you've made that kind of almost long-term decision about, no, we're going to partner up and co-brand and webinars and like just content production. I think it's really smart to align yourself with others that are doing well inside the Shopify ecosystem.
Thank you. Plus, I believe it's a fantastic way to bring even more value to our clients, right? Because you save them juggling data between different platforms. It's all integrated, it's all automated, and it's for the best at the end of the day.
So let's talk about the future of Upfluence. Are you able to share any North Stars, I guess, for 2021 and beyond, like partner alignment or innovation? Like, end of the day, I just would love to understand like how you're going to continue to offer value and assistance out of Shopify brands.
So I might sound a little bit like a broken record, but on the macro level, the direction in which we want to bring the products is very much on some of the points I've mentioned previously. Number one, marketing automation. It's something we're investing a lot of tech resource to really put your influencer marketing on autopilot. Number one. Number two, going offline. So I know, again, it's a little bit cocky to think that in the age of COVID, but that's something we really strongly believe, to have a proper point of sale integration. And last, to be increasingly integrated with our clients and our core ecosystem, right? And especially in the Shopify ecosystem that's done such a great work at developing their app store where everybody can connect, essentially, right? But on a shorter term level, even though historically we've helped hundreds of Shopify brands grow their influencer marketing efforts, yet we're only now solidifying our relationship with Shopify. So I'm very happy to be on the show, Steve. Thank you very much. Currently, we have a private app that we offer for our clients to integrate their Shopify stores. But we're working on a public app that will be released in the next couple of months in 2021.
I make sure I'll update, depending on when you're listening to this episode, but I'll update the show notes with any details to links for the public app. And we'll dig into, I know we did speak offline, we'll chat about that in a few minutes. But let's talk about how people can learn more about Upfluence, where they can go, I guess, case studies and some information.
our website, appfluence.com. If you want to reach out to me directly, I'm very active on Quora. So if you want to ask a question or anything like that, I'm sure we'll add the profile to the show notes. Same on LinkedIn. If you want to connect with me directly, be my guest. And I'll make sure to share with you, Steve, a case study about some of the great Shopify and Shopify Plus brands that we are lucky enough to help.
And we did speak offline, and I understand that you'd like to offer a little, I guess, listener-only promotion or a little deal for those that have listened in today.
Before we are able to release the public app I was referring to, I will be sharing with you, Steve, a landing page thanks to which you guys can book a demo directly with one of our experts, a demo during which you'll be given 15% off and you'll be able to try the product and take it for a spin if you'd like.
So that'll be ecommercefastlane.com/upfluence. And so that will redirect you to that landing page. So all the details will be there. We'll make sure that that landing page is updated as there's progress with the public app, and then any kind of details for trials and discounts. Thank you so much. Really massively appreciate that kind of offer. You know, and just in a more of a parting note, you likely know this, but Shopify's mission really is to make commerce better for everyone. And it's clear, you know, both you and the Upfluence team, you really are, based on this conversation, you know, really in tight alignment with wanting to help brands improve efficiencies for sure, grow revenue, and then building lifetime customer loyalty. And, you know, thanks again for, I guess, taking time today. We're all working from home, so you always hear the background noise and all the fun things going on in everyone's life.
Apologies about that.
That's life, and that's great. You know, I just appreciate you digging in and sharing your knowledge and vision and just giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
All right, have a great day. This episode was brought to you by Push Owl, Shopify's leading web push notifications app and the only Shopify Plus approved certified app partner in its category. Browser-based web push notifications push your retention marketing and conversion rate optimization to the next level because you can re-engage store visitors without the need of an email address. Send web push notifications right to their smartphone or desktop by just using the browser. And the great thing about Push Owl is they're used by over 20,000 Shopify stores and more than 600 Shopify Plus brands, so you know their solution has the security, privacy, speed, and reliability that Shopify Plus brands come to expect. Take their platform for a spin now, 30 days for free on their paid plan. Head on over to ecommercefastlane.com/pushowl and use the code Fastlane when you activate. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of Ecommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.